Good morning.
Good morning.
It is awesome to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I'm extraordinarily grateful that you folks come to church here. I love it. I love that you're here each week. I love it that you trust me. I love it that you enjoy what we're doing here. I'm so grateful for the fact that you come here, that we do this together. I'm so grateful for this church. I really am. Okay. So if you're new with us this morning, and I see a few new faces in here, then here's what we've been doing. I started back in May of last year. And since then, we have been marveling at our salvation. We have been talking about how Jesus, or the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. And so that's the idea behind what we're learning, is what that full means. And we've talked about all of this awesome stuff that our salvation comes with. Because, you know, you can get saved and then, like, never really live for Jesus and die, and you spend your whole life, like, miserable and not fun. That's not a great way to live. God, He jam-packs our salvation with so much stuff that it gives us this awesome life. And so that's what we've been talking about, is how to have this awesome life inside of Jesus. The benefits of our salvation, if you will. And so we've talked about lots of stuff. We've talked about worship. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about forgiveness. We've talked about all sorts of things. And then we got we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then we started talking about love, and we've been in love for a very long time. But again, I'm hearing from you guys over and over about how good this is, because this series on love has been terrific. I mean, it's been difficult. It's been difficult, but it's been good. In fact, I had a lady come up to me last week. I hope I don't get in trouble for telling this story. I had a lady come up to me last week, and she said, you know, for years I've been riding around with my husband wherever we go, and I'm constantly telling him the directions, the best way to go wherever it is that we're going. And she said, and then it wasn't too long after that that the Lord convicted me, that's demanding your own way, which, you know, was a few weeks ago we talked about. And she said, so I'm going to try to stop. And so look how much better it's getting for us and her husband, right? Like, this is blessing not just her, but her husband as well. And so praise the Lord that this is working for everybody. So let's read the scripture that we've been basing this out of. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so that is the definition of love given to us by the Bible. And it's deep, and it is difficult, especially when you look at it in list form, and we'll put that back up again. When you look at the list of how we're supposed to live, this is how we're supposed to, like, the people that live in our home, we're supposed to treat them this way. The people you see in the grocery store, you're supposed to treat them this way. The people that you go to work with, the like, everybody in your life deserves this treatment from you. You have been commanded to love your neighbor. You've been commanded to love, and this is what it takes. And this is not like an easy list. You know, I've said this many times. You know, like, you can't, like the movies would illustrate that you could have a romantic weekend with somebody, and that's enough. It goes from romantic weekend to happily ever after. Well, that doesn't work when a man moves into your house, or the woman moves into your house, because we all know they're trouble. These people that move in your house are trouble. It's not just this easy thing that just happens. Oh, you're so cute works in the beginning, but oh, you're so cute doesn't when you fall into the toilet bowl. Then oh, you're so cute doesn't fly anymore. And so you have to lean into this list. And so we've made it a long way through here. We've done patience and kind. We've done not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. We've done does not mend its own way. We've done is not irritable. And we've done it keeps no record of wrongs. Last week was a tough week. Last week was a tough week. This week we're stepping into it does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Now, I was initially going to break this up into 2 weeks. Does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth, and do that 2 separate weeks. But I'm going to smush it together because as I was writing the sermon this week, what I really felt like is it shows us problem and solution all in the same sentence. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk problem and solution all in the same sentence. So what is it that it does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth? So does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Simply is does not rejoice with sin. And so what I think about most when I think about this is a movie called The Italian Job. Anybody familiar with the movie called Italian Job? Okay, it's a good movie, right? Here's the idea behind the movie. These, I think, 4 or 5 guys go and steal all this gold from somebody, okay? Then one guy of the group steals all the gold from them that they just stole. That's the whole premise. And then the rest of the movie is them trying to get the money back from the one guy. Now, here's what Hollywood does. Hollywood says, this guy's the bad guy. The one guy who stole it from his teammates, he's the bad guy. These guys are the good guys. But the problem is, they're all bad guys. They all belong in jail, right? So when you're watching this, you're like, oh, come on, good guys, get it. But they're not the good guys. They're not the good guys. They're all bad. In fact, everybody in that movie is bad. Don't watch it. It's fun. It's a fun movie. And, you know, you take it for what it's worth. It's a fun movie. And I think the same kind of thing happens in our lives when, you know, at the lunchroom table in your middle school or whatever, when they all sort of gang up and start making fun of one guy. You know, you remember middle school. It's terrible, right? It may be the hardest time of life. It may actually be the hardest time of life. And they all start ganging up on one guy. And so what happens? You laugh. Oh, but I don't participate. I don't make fun. You also don't stop it. You're just passively letting it go by, right? I think that's rejoicing in sin. Or the same thing happens at the water cooler, right? In our adult jobs, right? The boss is on his 3rd vacation of the year, and it's only April, and so everybody is, they're all gathered at the water cooler, and they start bad-mouthing the boss. And I can't believe he can go on 3 vacations already this year, and I can't even afford to pay my bills, and, you know, and all of this. And then everybody joins in together, all bad-mouthing the boss. That's rejoicing in sin. That's rejoicing in wrongdoing. So let's celebrate for that guy. Good on him that he got himself a job, right? He got himself a job where he doesn't have to work that much. He can go on vacation if he wants to. And, well, no, I'll leave that alone. Okay. Or bullying is the same way. We see this in our schools, you know, a lot of everything is bullying now. And so we see that a lot. But, I mean, it's real. It happens. Kids get bullied. They certainly do. And so when you stand around and watch somebody get bullied and don't get involved, that's rejoicing in sin. I hate to say it that way, but that's just what it is. And so the Bible tells us not to rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Now, what is rejoicing with the truth? Genuine, honest, and inside his will. Genuine, honest, and inside his will. So at the water cooler, what is the genuine, honest, and inside his will response to them bad-mouthing the boss? Well, I guess you could walk away. It's a little more passive, but you could. Or you could stand up for him. Hey, good on him. At least he's got a job where he doesn't have to work that much. You wish you had a job where you didn't have to work that much, where you could afford 3 vacations a year, right? Because most of that, like that frustration comes from jealousy, like if we're just being honest, right? Or what does rejoicing with the truth do when a kid is getting bullied? You stand up for him. Stand up for him. Hey, leave him alone. I know we don't want to get involved. We don't want to get involved, right? You don't want to get beat up. You don't want to get punched in the mouth. You don't want to get involved. You don't want to get caught on the bad side of it and get bad mouthed yourself. We don't want to get involved. I get it, but I think true love, I think real love, biblical love, actual love would get involved. And it's hard to do. Let's read some scriptures. How is God this way? So if you're new, then here's what we've been doing. Each week we take on one of these sections and we say, how is God this, or what is it? How is God this way? What would it be like to love our neighbor this way? What would it be like to love our family this way? And what would it be like to love God this way? And so let's see, I never even read Psalms 45. Here, I'll read Psalm 45. Verse 6 and 7. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with the scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. And so that I was meant to talk about how you love justice and hate evil. That's who God is. He loves justice and he hates evil. And that's what we're supposed to do. Love justice, hate evil. Okay, but mostly missed that, so we're going to move on to the next scripture, which is Psalm chapter 5, verse 4. We actually found this verse in Sunday school last week. Oh God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. You take no pleasure in wickedness. So how is God this way? How is it that he does not rejoice over wrongdoing? Because he takes no pleasure in wickedness. No pleasure in wickedness. Which sort of begs the question, how does he stand to us? Because we are wicked people. He hates sin. God hates it. And we come to God from, you know, from post-Jesus. And so our lives are full of grace. And so in order to get a picture of the wrath of God, the power of God, the authority of God, we have to read the Old Testament, which rings sort of, we don't understand it the same way they did because we live in such a different time. Our walk with Christ, our walk with God is so much different than theirs was. Ours is so much more graceful. Back in the Old Testament, God was like, if you don't do right, I'll get you. But see, the difference in then and now is Jesus was the one that got. And so now we are packed full of grace. So it's hard to see how God hates sin when we live under grace. But make no mistake about it, God hates sin. He hates sin. He hates it when we do things that are opposite his nature. Like being unloving, for example. And we do that a lot. We do. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I've read this to you several times throughout this. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Okay, so God hates our wickedness, but he has a will for us that's good, pleasing, and perfect. That's good news. That's good news. But this illustrates for us how God does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but does rejoice over the truth. He hates your wickedness, but he has a plan, a good plan, a genuine, honest, and inside his will plan for you. So what would it be like to love your neighbor this way? Let's read a scripture here in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4:9. But we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show Indeed, you already show your love for all believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we'd instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business. That's a great scripture. So what would it be like to love our neighbor this way? Mind your own business. Your next door neighbor buys a $80,000 car, and you're all up in frustration about it because he can't afford that car. I know where he works. Can you imagine going in that much debt for a car like that? Mind your own business. Maybe his grandparents or something passed away and left him a whole bunch of money. You don't know. Or if he chooses to go into debt, that's his business. It's not your business. If your boss man wants to go on 3 vacations a year, that's his business, not your business. Make it your goal in life to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands. And look what happens when we do that. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live. Then people who are not believers, so unbelievers, the people you work with, that you stand at the water cooler with, or wherever you guys hang out at and badmouth the boss, wherever you guys are, if you walk away every time we start badmouthing the boss or start gossiping about your coworkers or whatever it is, whatever the situation is, if you walk away every single time, they will respect the way you live. And that'll give you an open door to say, Jesus is awesome. Because they'll say, why don't you gossip? I don't know that people would come up to you and necessarily ask that, but how come you stay out of it? Because it's none of my business and Jesus is awesome. That's why. And that might give you a chance to share your love of God to your coworkers simply because you minded your own business. What would it be like to love our neighbors this way? Mind your own business. Or how about this? If something bad happens to the boss man, for example, you're like, well, he got what he deserved. How many of us are guilty of saying something like that? He got what he deserved. She got what she deserved. They were out doing this. They were out doing that. And they got caught. They got what they... Oh, we're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of this. Wait, I just thought of this. You're on the road. You're running, let's say, Shannon's rule is 76 and no more on the interstate, right? That's her rule, 76. So somebody comes right past you at 85, 90 miles an hour, and then, you know, 2 miles down the road, you see them pulled over. They got what they deserved. All of you, none of you tell me you're not guilty of that. You're all guilty of that, right? As if you're not guilty, right? You can point the finger at him. He was driving too fast. If you're running 71, you were driving too fast. That's the rule. If you're a rule breaker too, you fail also. So who are we to like point our finger at a guy driving too fast? You were driving too fast. Now, I mean, I understand, like on the highways, if you're running 70, that's not a happy place either. But it's illegal. 71 and a 70 is illegal. And so you can't fuss at the guy running 85. You can't be glad that he got caught when you should have got caught. And that's not just on the road. That is a lot of places. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Where are we at? Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. You see that again? Here it is. Does not rejoice with wrongdoing. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Then when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. This is illustrated, like this verse. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Here it is illustrated again. Hold tightly to what is good. Hate what is wrong. This is our commandment. This is our commandment. And so we sit sort of on our tower of self-righteousness saying, you know, like with the speeding example, we sit on our tower of righteousness, self-righteousness saying, they should have got caught. They were driving too fast. Man, they were driving 5 miles an hour faster than you. He should have got caught. He was sleeping around. Are you perfect? No, you're not. None of us in here get to sit on a throne of self-righteousness and say, they should have gotten caught. We all should get caught. Every one of us. We're all guilty. We cannot pretend that we are better than other people. What would it be like to love your family this way? This is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. Love makes up for all offenses. Hatred stirs up quarrels. Now, you're not going to... like, I hesitated to use this scripture because of the word hatred there. If you're going to be at somebody, like if you're going to have drama with somebody, if you're going to have frustrations with somebody, it's going to be the people who live in your home, right? That's because they have the greatest probability to irritate you, right? I mean, they do. The people in your home, they irritate you in many different ways. And some of us get irritated when our keys aren't in the right spot, or when the couch isn't just, you know, the pillows on the couch aren't just right, or whatever it is, whatever your thing is, people in your, or like the cupboard, the wherever you keep the chips, right? Like somebody moved the chips and that's frustrating, right? So it stirs up quarrels. All of these things stir up quarrels. But love makes up for all offenses. Real love, like this love we've been reading about, this love we've been talking about for weeks on end now, this love makes up for all the offenses. So somebody moved your chips, it's okay. It's okay. Somebody didn't, I'm trying to think of, like, somebody left their shoes in the floor. That happens in my house a lot. Somebody leaves their shoes just laying out in the floor, and you trip over them or whatever. That'll drive you crazy. Or cables, you know, somebody's got their cell phone plug or whatever, and it's just, like, haphazardly strung across the floor, and you trip over it. Like, it doesn't bother you 99 times out of 100, but that one time you trip over it, now you're mad about that one cord. This cord, I'll get it. Like, but love covers all of these things. How did it say it? Love makes up for all offenses. So love would let go of all of these things. How much more peaceful would our lives be if we didn't let all of these things that happen in our home, with our families, if we didn't let it all drive us bananas? How much more peace would your home have if you just lived at peace with the thing, like lived in love, like real genuine love with the people you live with? And your house would be so much better, wouldn't it? It'd be so much more peaceful. Maybe. Worth it. Our lives would be so much better if we really, really actually loved people. And we let our love cover their sins, all of their offenses. Okay. Now, what would it be like to love God this way? Now, God is all truth and no evil. So you don't really have to worry about rejoicing with God's wrongdoings, because as we've covered a couple of weeks in a row now, God does no wrong. Okay, let's read a scripture here. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. You want to love God by rejoicing in wrongdoing, by not rejoicing in wrongdoing, but rejoicing in the truth, then give God your all. Give him everything you've got. Because here's what happens. God's perfect. He is the truth. So if you want to rejoice in the truth, you need to rejoice in the Lord. That's your only win here. If you want to love God by not, because there's no trouble not rejoicing in wrongdoing with God, because God doesn't do wrong. Let me cover that again, because we talked about this last week a little bit. I'll hit it one more time. God has never done you wrong. You might get angry at the Lord from time to time over a thing that happens in your life, but God is never wrong. Because remember this, God's standard is perfection. Perfection. And the moment you became imperfect, you were deserving of squish. God is able to destroy you at any moment because you are not perfect. And so any wrongdoing that happens in your life is as a result of the sin of humans, be it your own or the sin of people around you. It's not God's fault. He's not doing you wrong because we're sinners. But if we want to rejoice in the truth, then God wants, all of who we are. All of who we are. This says, be holy because I am holy. Now, the Lord wouldn't tell us to be holy if it wasn't possible. I think that there's room for growth in all of us to get closer and give more of ourselves to the Lord. So what does giving more of yourself to the Lord mean? Well, for some of us, it means shut off the TV and read a little Bible. Some of us, it means love that person that's driving you crazy. Love them like genuine love, like real genuine love. Love them. It could mean a lot of different things. When I was a teenager, the Lord asked me to let go of secular music, and so I smashed all of my awesome rap CDs. I feel like now the Lord has released me, and I could listen to rap music if I wanted to, but I don't really want to because it's terrible. It represents all the things that I hate mostly, and so I don't want to rejoice in that kind of wrongdoing. But we watch TV shows. There was a show that used to come on. It may still come on. I don't know. CSI. We watched a show called CSI years and years ago. That was Shannon and I used to watch it. And it just glorified murder. The whole thing was just like, the whole story was somebody gets murdered and then they use science to figure out what happened. And so we're just letting our eyes witness this murder. And that's horrible. Like, the Lord doesn't rejoice in that. And God might be calling more out of us. He might want more and more holiness out of us. I know he does, because it says, you must be holy because I am holy. Now, what does that mean? We have a lot of free time left over if we give up our TV. But what if we gave that free time to the Lord himself? That's crazy talk. What do you mean? We're sitting and reading the Bible all night long? Maybe. Should I just sit and pray? Sure. You could volunteer. You could just spend time with your kids. I swear, I don't think we spend enough time together. I know my family doesn't spend enough time together because I don't want to complain. Anyway, I know we don't spend enough time together. I know we could do with more board games. Just having fun together, playing board games. That sort of thing. Would that be better than watching a show about murder? Yep, it sure would. Or whatever drama show that you like, or whatever. God is calling for holiness. He wants your all. He wants all of who you are. Every bit of it. Your nighttime TV activities, your daytime water cooler activities. He wants all of who you are. And we're not very good at that. But by God's grace, we can get better. Amen. Okay, let me pray for you. If I could, after church here, if I could meet with my Good Friday night volunteers in the office here for just a couple minutes, that would be great. Other than that, I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll go home. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us. God, that you love us, that your love is this way, that your love is perfect. Our love is not. Our love is far, far from perfect. But God, by your grace, we can get better at it. And so, Lord, I pray that we do just that. That as we go through this series, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would convict us, that you would instruct us, Lord, on how to love you more and more and more. God, how to love the people around us more and more and more, the people in our homes, the people at our jobs, the people at the grocery store, the people on the roads. God, that you would help us to love all of them, Lord, the way you want us to love them. Help us to be holy because you are holy. God, you're good, you're glorious, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.